And I said I would start this show with a couple mistakes, and that's all right. Hello, all you wonderful people that are listening. This is Luke. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for tuning in and coming to the 14th episode, the first episode this semester of my show, Elephant Loaf, where I interview a different person every week. And long in the workings, maybe the longest in the workings. I've got an awesome guest on today, and his name is Jack. Jack, introduce yourself however you would like.
Hi, I'm Jack. I'm a junior from Ohio, unfortunately.
I am sorry for that.
Yeah,
but
it's rough.
You're probably used to the weather then a little bit.
It's a good part of Ohio. It's Cleveland area, so
yeah.
That's nice.
That's, yeah, happy for you.
Not Columbus.
And Jack and I know each other because we have been, we were roommates for the past 2 years, and we're suite mates this year, which always felt, I always got a little annoyed at how people would kind of like, I don't, when I came to college, roommate, suite mate, and housemate all felt like the same word to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I always, anyway, but here we are.
I still make the mistake of saying roommate every single time.
I feel like they're the same thing.
They really
kinda,
are.
You know?
They so are.
Yeah. But anyway, we're going to jump into some questions. Jack, what's a book, movie, and or TV show that you would recommend?
Okay. This last book that I've read for fun, it was called The Secret History by Donna Tartt.
Yep.
And it was so good, and I've been recommending it to everyone that will listen. It is a murder mystery. Well, that's not a spoiler, because the murder happens basically immediately, and mm-hmm. the question is, why did they do the murder? And if you've been on TikTok, you've probably heard of this book, or at least like the dark academia genre that it spawned, and you should not take anything that you hear from that like side of TikTok as actual like fact about the book, because it's actually really good, and it's like kind of a critique of like the like, you know, like academic, all stuffy, like wealthy collegiate like sort of style. So I think it's super interesting. It's really well written too. Everyone is like falling in love with one of the characters.
Yeah. Who, so is it
to keep in mind, he is a murderer.
Yes.
Like he fully like killed someone.
And do we know that from the beginning?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And they were like just cause, but like you
so
know,
it happens and we know who it is,
mm-hmm.
but we're trying to figure out why.
Exactly, because they're like a friend group, and it's like, whoa, why did these people just like kill their friend? And then you kind of figure out what's going on. But it's super interesting. It takes place in like this small like New England like liberal arts school,
mm-hmm.
and it's this tiny friend group of like Greek students who only take classes with the same professor and like don't interact with the rest of the school. It's like a little cult kind of thing.
Interesting.
And so it's cool. The story like kind of mirrors a Greek tragedy. But it's like really interesting.
Like a specific one?
No,
or,
like just
okay,
like
just
the
genre.
Like thematically, like the whole like idea of you know, the like epiphany and the like the knowledge and all this other stuff in terms of like things outside of your control. Hubris is like a huge theme, which is a classic in Greek tragedy. So
totally,
yeah, it's kind of that sort of thing. It's been good though.
Awesome. Have you finished the book?
I did finish it. I finished it, and then I recommended it to my mom, and then she finished it, and I've been looking to more people to recommend it to. So
that sounds incredible.
Yeah, it gets Jack Rogan's mom approval, so it's got to be good.
That's huge. It's a group of people, and one of them is the murderer, but it sounds like, are they
all
a little
murderer.
Complicit?
So they're all, sort they of all a, like collectively
yeah.
murder this one
gotcha.
Friend. And like, they're all, this
Do we
is like,
see,
an
is
important.
the book told through their eyes? Is it omniscient?
Yeah.
Like,
okay. So that's super important. So protagonist, like the person who we're hearing it through is, he's like just transferred into this school. He's like just joining this like group of students. And so you're hearing it all through his lens, and he will like admit almost immediately, like I think within like the first, you know, like quarter of the book, that he's like a totally unreliable narrator who is saying all of the events. He's like, my like fatal flaw, like that, you know, everyone's got the fatal flaw. It exists outside of literature, is that like I have, what was it? It's like a morbid longing for the picturesque is like the, I think the exact
the
words
quote.
That he uses. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's like, he just like looking back, he's like, oh my gosh. Like he's so into the aesthetic of like, these people that he's around and this mm-hmm. idea of like beautiful people and intelligence and like,
so he's romanticizing.
Yeah, he's romanticizing all of it. He romanticizes like these like essentially psychopaths and
yeah.
is totally complicit in like everything that's going on. And so he's like, the narrator himself is a terrible person and yeah. all of his friends are terrible people and the victim is a terrible person. But it's really fun to like listen to all of the terrible things that they do because it's like written well and it's super fun to kind of just like get it through the lens of someone who you don't like and who like fully is not even in on what's going on for a lot of the book. So it's super interesting.
That is awesome because every protagonist has a little bit of that, like, because the reader is new to the book. The main character also has to be learning a lot. Generally, the main character is mm-hmm. also learning a lot of things just to make the whole exposition process yep, a little bit
absolutely.
Easier. But I've always kind of enjoyed that, like, you know that I really like the Percy Jackson
yeah.
books, but, like, Percy Jackson is a bit of adult. You know, like, Harry Potter is a bit of adult. Luke Skywalker
so
doesn't know
true.
What the heck's going on. You know, you've got all these main characters that just are completely new to this thing, and God, you're making me really want to read the book because the idea of like transferring or entering a new school and just being like, I want to study classics, and then a whole bunch of stuff is going down.
No, it's so funny. He literally like drops every class and mm-hmm. then joins this like group of students after his advisor tells him like, absolutely not. Like the professor's weird. The students are weird. Like they're elitist, like terrible people. Like
wow.
don't join. He's like, eh. Like, it's fine. I'll see what happens. I'll take a risk. And it does not end great.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. Get wrapped up in a murder. So, moral of the story is don't take Greek in college.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will keep that in mind. How did you come across it?
I don't even remember. I think it was probably, like, through Goodreads or something.
Yeah.
I have so many, like, random lists. But I ran into it, and the plot sounded super interesting, and the author, like, she wrote another book that I still have to read called The Goldfinch that won won something big. I don't remember what award it was, but she's like a pretty well-known author. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll like give it a shot, and it was super fun.
Do you know about how long ago both of those were written?
The Goldfinch is more recent. I think
okay.
that was like in the last 10 years. I think this
gotcha.
One was written in the 90s, maybe.
Sure.
That
yeah.
sounds around right.
I don't know.
I have no idea either. They don't have cell phones, and that is
yeah.
like a tip off, but
pretty big,
yeah,
pretty big clue.
Exactly.
Yeah. Also, in like TV nowadays, if someone immediately goes to like Google something, you know,
yeah.
you instantly know what setting it is.
No, so true.
Yeah. You feeling another question? Do you want to go into a song? We've got a lot of great songs, I think.
I'm fine with either one. I don't really have a show or a movie that I've been watching recently. I'm behind. I need to catch up on
yeah,
Succession.
I was going to ask about Succession.
I know. I'm so behind. I there's like a new season coming out in, I think, March, and I have to like finish watching that. But Succession has been amazing so far, and everyone should give it a shot. The first like two or three episodes, I was not super into it, but I got invested. That's
mm-hmm.
so similar, actually. Every character in that show is a terrible person. It's
yep.
just like the book. And it's not, I mean, this is, the Secret History is not very funny, but Succession is hilarious. So.
Yeah. Is it meant to be hilarious? Or
Succession
is
like, fully meant to be funny.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
Actually, The Secret History, I think, definitely has like a lot of parts that are like hilarious, and it's like obviously satire,
mm-hmm.
but I think like a lot of tweens that picked it up didn't get the satire, and they were like, oh, these people are so cool.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, like, no, that's not the point of the book. You missed the like very fundamental plot point. But yeah.
And is that maybe some of what like TikTok gets
Absolutely.
Wrong about portraying
it? Oh my
god. Yeah.
That is the biggest thing. It's really funny actually. They are like they are the group that the book is making fun of. Like
okay.
the people that are like
yep.
idealizing like all of the like elitist stuff. And then so anyway, it's a great book, but maybe stay off of TikTok.
Yeah, I mean there's this part of people I think that want to be like, oh, I wish to be a haunted soul.
Exactly.
You know, and like
so
that's
true.
maybe not the best way to go about
it. It's a vibe, but I feel like you can have, like, you know, like the fun aesthetic and not like think that
that's what
the murderer
books and video games
are, like,
for.
Fun. Yeah, you exactly. Know? Yeah. So true.
Mm-hmm. I did have a question because we've been talking about, I mean, you brought up Greek tragedies, and this is mainly just something that I'm curious about. When you read old books and old texts and you come across something that's meant to be funny, do you get it right away? Because a lot of the times it's only after knowing the, like, proper historical context. Like, I haven't ever laughed at Shakespeare, you know, especially on the first read. But after having it explained to me, I can go like, oh, that was a neat joke, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel like when, who was it? That guy that calls someone else an egg, that made me laugh. Mm-hmm. I don't think I laughed at any of the other jokes because I didn't get that they were innuendos until my teacher told me, and then it was funny. But, like, it depends. Like, if you ever read Catullus, the Greek poet, which I cannot say any of his poems on air because they are the most raunchy, like, explicit things that I have read, and he lived, like, you know, 2,000 years ago.
Yep.
But it's very clearly funny, and it's actually hilarious. But I think sometimes if you don't have the cultural and, like, context, you don't get it.
Yeah.
But, like, there are some jokes that transcend that. They're always going to be funny.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to look into that now. Yeah. I don't know. And I think maybe another aspect of this is mainly what I'm thinking of and talking about is, like, Shakespeare or Greek plays, comedies, tragedies, whatever, where it's just, it's also meant to be seen and heard more than it's meant
true.
To be read.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that always got me with Shakespeare. I took a Shakespeare class in high school, and I could, like, the readings, which I like reading, and I don't, like, they weren't, like, the hardest to comprehend, but they weren't fun to read, and then I'd watch them, or I'd, like, see them in, like, an actual play, not in, like, a movie form, mm-hmm. which I think is what we ended up doing mostly in the high school class, but it was, like, it was so, like, you could see, like, the characters, like, you know, like, the expressions and all of the, like, blocking on stage, and it was, like, way more interesting to watch, and you could follow it a lot better, too, I think, when you're, like, actually seeing it happen, which I think is the problem, and, like, why a lot of people, like, end up hating Shakespeare and, like, thinking, like, why the hell are we reading this, and you're, like, in middle school and high school, and I feel like if they showed more of what's actually happening, it would be a lot more interesting, although... Also, I don't know how you do that with a bunch of middle schoolers, because asking them to, like, act it out or something, that would be fun, though.
Is that a thing that you did? Because that's a thing that I did in high school.
We went around the room and, like, read, I think, passages, which was an experience. But I don't think we ever, like, acted it out, which is tragic, actually. That would have been really fun.
No, I was one of... I did not like English classes in high school.
Valid.
This is just a thing that I want to say. I liked some of them. I had some great teachers. I also had some classes that I did not enjoy as much, and we're going to leave it at that. But one of the highlights of an otherwise boring semester was getting to be killed as Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Just because it's fun. I forget what we used as, like, swords, but they were definitely, like, long foam things or something like that, you know?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I would have enjoyed Shakespeare a lot more if I had been able to get killed in class.
Right.
Like, so fun.
Yeah. It just adds something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. In terms of movies, I'm weirdly excited for the new Ant-Man. I'm as dead on Marvel as everyone else is, but they've put a... cover of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
I like the cover. That's so valid.
And it just feels so epic to me now. I don't know.
That's fair. No, I, like, fully stopped following Marvel, and I, like, will probably maybe see the Ant-Man. I don't know. It depends on how... I think I'll, like, look at the reviews before. Yeah. It's not like... I feel like Marvel movies are not, like, a must-see thing anymore. I have to, like, keep up with the overarching story.
Because it built up to Endgame.
Yeah. And then it's like, and whatever, then, yeah. I just don't care about any of the characters. But that trailer cover was really good.
It was
That's
really
valid.
Good.
I did like the cover.
Hmm. So we started with a song called Textbook Love by Fleet Foxes, which they do White Winter Hymnal as
they
well.
They do, right? Yeah.
That's the only song
That's
I've heard from them,
so
which is
fair.
Probably where most people are at, I would imagine. Do you listen to a lot of their stuff?
I like kind of like I feel like it's the it's like a weird out of like my normal music genre type song. But they're fun. They're like the closest to like acoustic. I don't even know what you call them. Like folk, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think I listen to a lot of that sort of music, but I, for some reason, their stuff always gets me. It's like super catchy and they've got good voices. Oh my gosh.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you have a song you'd want to play next?
Oh, I don't.
I can
know.
Also just, it, oh, just you can just look it. At.
Oh, you could do, God Turn Me Into a Flower. Way's Blood's so iconic.
Incredible. All right. Well, that's as much of an introduction as the song needs, I think. Here we go.
As long as I stand to face the crowd, know my name, to know its sound. It's good to be soft when they push you down. Oh God, it always takes me, it's such a curse to be so hard. Shatter easily and can't pick up all those shards. It's the curse of losing yourself when the me takes you too far. Oh God, turn me into flowers. Turn me
And we're back. Let me just make sure that things are working the way that I want them to. Yeah, we're back. That was God Turned Me Into a Flower by Wazeblood. Mm-hmm. Wazeblood?
Wazeblood? I don't know how to pronounce it. That sounds right.
And just so we don't forget, Jack and I have a little bit of a message for you, courtesy of this station. This is entitled Next Trip to the River. And so first we've got birds laughing, or birds chirping, children laughing, a sprinkler, and a collar jingling. Ha ha ha! Tweet, tweet, tweet. Welcome back! How was the trip to the river?
Oh, it was just fantastic.
Lucky you not being around for all of that rain.
It sure looked like a lot of runoff. Anyway, I've got to get going. Let's catch up soon.
Sounds good. Ruff?
Hey, wait, you've got to make sure you pick that up.
Really? But no kids play in this part of the neighborhood, and it's decomposable, isn't it?
True, but all that rain and stormwater runoff will pick things up like fertilizer, pesticides, trash, and dog waste, which will go down to the nearest drains and waterways and end up in streams, lakes, and rivers. Make sure you pick up dog waste to keep bacteria out of our water. We want to keep it swimmable and boatable. Wouldn't want Buddy putting a damper on your next trip to the local river.
Ruff.
Brought to you by the Mystic River Watershed Association.
I think we did a great job.
Nailed it.
I'm gonna switch back over here. And, hello. And let's talk a little bit about music. So, first with Wazeblood, that's maybe more the kind of music I associate you with, fairly or otherwise. But more kind of atmospheric, ethereal, I would say. Spotify has given you spooky in the past as a top genre.
That is like my proudest accomplishment. I will never like top getting spooky as a Spotify like wrapped theme. I don't even remember what it was. It was like spooky and whimsical were like my categories. And then this year they totally bungled it. It was like, I don't even remember. It was like Royal Core or something super silly.
When you said you got Royal Core, I felt that it was okay to admit that I got Royal Core.
I don't even, like, what does that mean? There's too many aesthetics. I think people need to, like, cull them down. Everything's not an aesthetic.
Jack Rogan recently dropped a class called aesthetics.
I did, in fact.
And that is really just lining up with this opinion.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about cottagecore once in class, so what's the point?
So, very true.
Some silly philosophy class.
Just to get it out of the way quickly, what's your favorite MBTA line and why?
I hate all MBTA lines. They're awful, and I learned that over the summer when I had an internship in the city and I had to commute, and it was like 90 degrees. Oh, I was tired. The air conditioning in some of the cars just like wouldn't work.
Yeah.
And they'd be packed every time. Like 15 minute waits on the red line, which is like so incredibly unacceptable. I was baffled. And I wasn't even on the orange line when it caught fire, but that's always a thing that apparently you have to worry about if you're trying to take public transportation in Boston.
We like to keep it interesting here.
So
we
fair. Do. That's nice. You get a cool like pyrotechnics show for free along with your ticket price.
Kind of trying to do a fire and ice sort of thing,
but
we didn't have the ice ready
fire
at the time.
Fire on the railroad tracks. Yep. I fully was super excited for the Green Line extension too.
Yeah.
And I like the Green Line extension because I don't know how the fare machines work. And as long as I don't look up to like learn how I'm supposed to pay, I don't think I have to pay. I'm fairly certain that's how that works.
So I would like to say that in general, I'm a pretty lawful good person. I would largely advise that everyone, follows compliances and does everything that they should, especially when it comes to paying for this sort of thing. I don't think anyone at Tufts has paid for a Green Line extension ride in the past, well, since it's been open in the past, like,
really
2 months.
No, I really don't think so. I've never, like, jumped a turnstile, but you just walk right down the thing.
Because there's not a turnstile.
No, there isn't. Yeah. So, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to, like, do there. There was a worker, like, there are, like, occasionally workers that will, like, stand up there. And I like walk past them and they won't say anything. Yeah. So I'm like, was I supposed to do something here? Like what? I don't know.
I've never been chastised. Exactly. I've never been pointed in the direction of a pay terminal. So there's like, yeah.
So I guess I can't get too annoyed with the green line because
but you were gonna say.
That's a bonus. It's like way slower than I feel like public transit should be. Like it's like to walk to Davis from Tufts, take the red line, is like almost like the same as just getting on the green line and going to like Park Street or wherever. Like, I don't know. I don't think it cuts off like a substantial amount of time. And I guess that depends on where on the campus you are.
You live, yeah.
But I don't know. I was like, I thought it would be like this crazy, like, oh my gosh, we're like 20 minutes
shortcut
from Boston.
Into Boston.
But no, it's like 45 minutes to the library. And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
But it is still kind of nice to have. I just think that there's like, it gets like really slow. Like just like there's a lot of stops, which is whatever, because it's like more places to see. But I don't understand why it's that slow. I feel like it doesn't need to be.
Yeah. I'm really upset that like Union Square is on another line kind of from Tufts. And so if you want to get to Union Square, you have to go one stop past Union Square, get off, wait for a train that's going there, and then get on that.
That's so wild. I didn't even think about that.
And then if you come back, you've got to do the same thing in reverse.
Yeah, I keep running into the problem where like I'll like be waiting for a train that like in Boston, waiting for a train to like that's going out to Tufts, and like none of them goes all the way. Or the worst was when like the little sign said that there was a train like now arriving that was going to Tufts, and then but like on the physical train, the little like title, what's it called, like the LED screen that was supposed to like say like this is like going to this station didn't say that. It said like the one earlier, and so I didn't get on it, and then it left, and I was like, and then it, like the Tufts train on the station LED went away, and I was like, oh my god, that was going to Tufts. They never updated like the actual lights to show where it was going, and so I had to wait like another 10 minutes, and it was so not an actual problem, but I was annoyed.
I mean, very valid. That's how I feel a lot of the time with the green line going both ways, because going the other way, you've got the issue of like there are so many different branches that I need to both make sure like I'm waiting at the right track for the one that I want, and that it's the one that I want is the one that's going to come as well.
So
because
true.
I think for like any given track, if you're at Park, which is the main green line stop that I'm at. It like any given track has one of two potential trains that are coming, and it just never seems to be. I mean, honestly, I've never run into major trouble, but the fact that I've got to be scared that there might be trouble,
so fair,
makes me upset.
No, I feel like you can sum up the MBTA as like a series of like small annoyances that like build up over time until you just don't bother anymore. But so, also I have to because I don't like driving, and definitely not in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's better than, you know,
city driving is not fun.
No, so fair. And like, it's funny, 'cause like I complain about it, but also it's still somehow the, like one of the best like public transit lines in the country, which is scary. So that's a thing. But yeah, no, like I go back to Cleveland and there's like one line, so, you know, it could be worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, everyone is cursed, I think, to hate the public transit system that is theirs.
Mm-hmm. So true.
It'd be like that. It'd really do. Let's see. Do you have a tangent that you would like to go on about something that you have found interesting?
I kind of do. Okay, so it's a tangent. It's not interesting. In fact, it's interesting to me because it's the least interesting thing I could possibly think of.
Totally.
Pencils. Okay. Everyone knows. Everyone's got them.
Everyone's been talking about them.
People know pencils.
Yep.
But really know pencils? Because here's the thing. Apparently, there's like a whole community online of, I guess, like pencil enthusiasts. I don't know what else to say.
Okay, yeah.
They're really into like pencils, and there's
what are the reusable like lead pencils?
No. Or so like these are like the wooden graphite ones.
Graphite, yeah.
Because apparently, right? And like I didn't learn this until I was like a drawing class. But there's like loads of different, like, you know, if you like take a test, it's like, oh, use like a number two pencil. And you're like, what the hell is a number two pencil? All pencils are number two pencils. But they're not. Because A number two pencil is an HB pencil. And H is hardness, and B is stands for like black. And so there's like hardness, there's like fine, that's like F, and then there's like the black. And they're all like a scale. So like if you have like a B8 pencil, then it's like really dark lines. Or if you have like an H like 8 pencil, then it's like a really light line that's like it like feels different when you write. There's like more friction.
Yeah.
And fine, I don't even know what the hell fine is. I don't think anyone knows what fine is. There's like one like F that's I guess not quite as tough to write with as like the H pencils. And so I bought like a pencil set for this art class, and I was like, what am I supposed to do with all of these? Like I'd noticed like kind of a difference, but I don't really notice a difference. And I'm just like, so I've got like 1,000 pencils.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went online and I was like, okay, like whatever, like pencils, I'll like look up and see what people are saying. There are people that are like really fixated on like it's not even just like the like actual type of like graphite in the pencil. Each brand has its own thing. Like there's no one uses like Dixon Ticonderoga. That's ridiculous. If you're like a real pencil enthusiast, you're using like Faber-Castell or Blackwing is like the big one with the like silly looking erasers, or like Mars Lumograph. And they're all like, you think like, oh my God, like, okay, at least there's like a scale, so you kind of know what you're getting. No, you don't, because each like pencil, like that scale applies differently to each like brand of pencil. So like a B8 on,
it's the genes problem.
Exactly. It's so dumb. It literally is. It's like a B8 like should be like really dark, but like if you go and get like a B4, but oh no, this one's from Japan, like, and it's like a, I forget what it's called, like, and anyway, there's like a bunch of pencils that are like a B4, it will be darker than the B8 from like another company, and you're like, what? And so you can't even mix and match. It's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
It's wild. Yeah. I was baffled. Everyone's got their preference. And so I went into the art store and I tried like, oh, like this is one from this brand and this is one from this brand. And I was like, oh, I'll like see which one I like the most and then just keep buying it. Mm-hmm. I could not tell the difference. If I had my eyes closed and like you just handed me one and asked me which one it was, they're a pencil. Like the feel is the same.
Yep.
And like if you open your eyes and you look and see what you actually wrote, it doesn't look that much different. Like you're not really gonna like notice enough to the point where it matters. So I don't get it.
I can't say I get it either. I mean, and that's the something that I think has been incredibly good for me to learn about hobbies is that you can put any amount of time and money into one.
So true.
And I'm trying to get less and less surprised when I hear stuff like this, because I know that like the amount of times that I've been like, kayaking is kayaking. You get a yellow piece of plastic and you go out on a lake and that's what you do. But like, people, you know, have life jackets of all different kinds and have kayaks of all the different kinds, and there's white water and you've got to think about the water and the weather on the day and the type of paddle that you're using. And it's just, that was the first example I could think of, but it's insane how, this is how we work though as humans. We have a thing that we really like and then we're like, how far can this go?
Exactly. You know? And they'll get you. They'll like wring as much money out of you as they can. There are like pencil sets that I was looking at. And like Blackwing pencils especially are like the bougie, like super like fancy ones. They're so expensive. I can't remember the prices were, but like you could very easily spend like $20 on some pencils. And I'm like, oh my God, just absurd. But yeah, I mean, that's pencils. And then there were like paper people that were like, you need like the Midori notebook because it has like this, like it's like toothier than the other like papers. And I'm like,
what is toothiness? What's paper toothiness?
Okay. So that's like how much like drag there is when you like use the pencil. It's like how rough the paper is, you know, like sandpaper will be like, but like not,
that's a quality of paper. I always thought that was a quality of the pencil you were using. I mean, it's probably a little bit of both.
It's 100% both. Yeah. It's like the H versus the B.
Yeah.
But then also the paper matters. And I'm just too afraid to even look up like pens because I know there's gonna. I feel like pens. I would anticipate there's even like more like pen nerds.
It's crazy.
So I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. I mean, wasted.
You've got a fountain pen.
I do. I bought it for cheap on Amazon because I thought it would be like super like aesthetic and fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite like it's just more inconvenient in every way than like a normal pen or pencil is. And I think a lot of that's because I'm a lefty. Because like my hand drags and I will smear the ink and then I'm like, awesome. But also it is fun to write with. So yeah. I don't necessarily regret it. I just think it's like got a time and a place and I would not use it for like note taking.
So I can't think this might be a stupid question and forgive me if it is, but are there lefty writing utensils? I can't think of what would be different, but
okay. I fully looked that up. There are lefty pens. They're like shaped weird. It's so you don't like have to turn your hand as much. So like you can see what you're writing while you're writing it and your hand's not like covering it.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get one. I don't fully see, like they sound kind of gimmicky. I think there are some things where like 100% you need like a left-handed version and a right-handed version and it doesn't make sense. I don't.
Smoke blowers, for example.
Exactly. Yep. Left-handed smoke sifters. Oh my God. Same thing. I mean, I'm sure both have been like thrust on small like oh my gosh go get the left-handed smoke sifter I'll never get over that. My counselor at my summer camp, we have like a cabin cookout where everyone like walks, it's like you walk like a long way, it was probably like a five, like I mean I was younger, it was probably like a 10-minute walk to this campsite and you like cook over a fire. And so I'm like, god, like 10, yeah, I must have been like 10, and this like college age counselor goes, oh my god, we forgot the left-handed smoke sifter. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, like, okay. And he goes, Jack, like, go back all the way, walk all the way through the woods, like 10 minutes, back to like the point where they were giving out all the supplies and get a left-handed smoke sifter. I probably was picked on because I was left-handed. And so I walked all the way back.
That would make sense, yeah.
And I asked for left-handed smoke sifter, and the lady that was there said, go tell your counselor he's a big dummy. And so I walked back, and it was tragic and traumatizing.
I'm sorry.
We were using propane stoves.
Mm-hmm.
And he like it like blew up in his hand. He was very incompetent. It like
caught,
because you know like it's like fire and propane.
Yeah,
so, like, it like blew up everywhere, which was so funny. I felt so vindicated as a 10-year-old watching him like put out fire. While it wasn't like,
I mean,
on
he was
him.
Like fine.
It was like on the ground. Yeah, okay, he was so fine.
Okay.
No, it was hilarious. But yeah.
Wow.
Tragic.
Camp is wild like that because there are so many examples of someone older than you like messing with you. And I'm sure part of it is because you're outside and you can be cold and wet and not have enough food or not get enough sleep. Like all those things are easy and you get a little irritated. But there are so many examples of someone that's like 4 to 10 to 20 years older than you just telling you something that's complete nonsense.
So true. You can gaslight kids so easily. Yep. I don't even blame them. Like, go off, I guess. I our other counselor, god, why what was up with those counselors? That was like a weird year for me, I guess. The other counselor
was the same year?
Yeah, same year. The other counselor was British. And
I was going to ask if this was the British guy.
Different guy. But like they were friends. I'm sure they were like conspiring together.
Sure.
It wasn't me this time. It was my friend, Sam. Poor Sam. He convinced Sam that it was illegal to like wear like a beard in Britain. Like you couldn't wear, you couldn't like have a beard. And that's why he was clean shit. I think what he did is like he shaved like before we knew he was going to go back. And so like he fully had him convinced, like, oh my god, like you can't have a beard like in Britain, which was just like I don't think I believed it, but I also, when he said aluminium, like because he like used the word aluminium, and I knew like about the beard thing, and so I was like, he's messing with me. There's no way that is a thing that like anyone could pronounce aluminium. Like this is another one of those pranks, and it took me a long time to figure out, oh my god, no, that's just how he said it. He was not messing with me that time. But yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's tricky to parse that stuff when you're young.
So true.
Were you there in the dorm earlier when I shared that I've been telling my friends about one of my professors who's British, and he says teensy weensy, and I really enjoy that. He, every time he said aluminum in class today, he said both aluminum and aluminium. And he would give, sometimes he'd give one before the other, sometimes vice versa, but he'd always catch himself and say both, which I just...
That's super fun.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yay.
Let's see. We got a couple minutes of talking left. We could do songs if you want to, or we could... I'm thinking we should probably just talk until the end of the show at this point.
That's so fair.
You put a lot of great songs on, you put a lot of long songs on as well.
So true, oh my gosh.
I did want to ask, if you had to take entirely new classes for a semester, just kind of like switch up what you're doing entirely, what are some of the things you would take?
I would fully take English classes, because the problem I keep running into is I like reading a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, super fun hobby for me. I do not do reading in college, unless it's like a series of like a book series that I'm like, oh, I have to read the book when it comes out. But like I barely read anything in college, and I used to read in high school because I didn't do the actual like school readings in high school. But now I'm in college and I feel like I have to do all of these like long, dense, they're either research papers if it's like community health, or like if it's like political science or philosophy, then it's like even more dense, like. Mm-hmm. And it, like, it's so hard to like spend like 4 hours reading like Hobbes and then be like, oh, and now I'm going to read for fun this time. Cause I feel like I enjoy doing the readings for my classes, but like, it's hard. Like, they're not like, they're interesting. They're not fun. So I think I run into that problem where I'm like, oh my God, I wish I could just read. But if I took English classes, I could do the pleasure reading for class and it would be like amazing. But also, I have to like find English class, like an English class that would have the books that I want to read, which I have found. I think it's just hard to fit them into a schedule if you're not like majoring in English. But I will do that at some point, probably next year.
Nice, awesome.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to it for you. What are some of your guilty pleasure lists?
Okay. Oh, Werewolf. I've never watched 30 Rock. I think it's 30 Rock.
It is 30 Rock.
30 Rockefeller Ave is the building that I fully haven't been to. But 30 Rock, the show, I've never watched it.
Yes.
But I don't remember how I found the song.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. Yep. It's so catchy. I listened to it for fun. I didn't realize, like, it's
Tracy Morgan's.
I think
it is,
right? Yeah. It's just like, it's amazing. The lyrics are amazing. The tune is catchy. The same thing is true, except I actually do watch the show, for Bob's Burgers, because Bob's Burgers has some like absolute banger songs.
And I did not know there was any music.
Oh my God,
in that
no,
show.
they'll do songs like semi. I'll have to show you some of these. They'll do them like semi frequently. They're really funny. Like they're amazing songs, and they're like all goofy and dumb, but like they're catchy and they get stuck in your head. And so that's like, I've listened to those for fun. It's kind of wild.
That's awesome.
Don't remember a single one of the names of any of the songs from Bob's Burgers, but they're all really good. Oh, Electric Love. That's one of them. About Thomas Edison's romantic relationship with the elephant Topsy that he electrocuted.
That is so much information to process.
It was a lot.
I was gonna say, oh, I thought that was the name of a song by Bjorns, however you pronounce that band.
It's also a good song. Completely unrelated,
very
though.
Different and very different subject material
so
as well.
True.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot to take in.
It was but kind of amazing.
Shows with music, I feel like, always have some real bangers.
True.
Did you ever watch Gallivant?
No.
Is that a thing?
I didn't.
It was not a great show.
Nice.
It was hilarious, but it got like barely funded for its second season.
That's tragic.
After they thought they'd been canceled, and it, I don't know. Shows with music are always a time, especially when the main point of the show is not to have music, you know, or at least it's not known as a musical.
It's like the musical episodes that are like infamously terrible, except the one the only musical episode I've watched, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
How much of that series have you seen?
Not enough of it is the answer to that question.
Gotcha.
I I feel like I was...
Not as much as I would have guessed,
no,
maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's tragic. I, like, don't know if I want to go down the rabbit hole. I don't know how many seasons there are, but it's a lot. And mm-hmm. That's, like, a whole commitment. But I have watched, like, some random episodes from it. They incorporate the musical... Like, it's like a curse on them. Like, a demon curses them so that they can only speak in song. And I'm like, that's so clever. Yeah. So they work it into, like, the plot, which I think makes way more sense than what a lot of shows do with their musical episodes.
Within that, do they also have, like, specific musical numbers, or is it just all of the...
They'll have, like, musical numbers, but, like, they're like, singing everything. Gotcha. So it's super fun. I think most musical episodes do not go well, especially if the cast... If it's live, and the cast are not, like... actual singers. They're just like, hey, you need to sing this, because acting and singing are different things, and so
wildly
like, ooh, this person clearly is not trained in singing, but
I do like when they do that sort of thing where it's baked into the plot.
Yes,
it can feel
that.
A little campy, but at the same time, if you're willing to let go and just so be like, this is happening now, then that's okay.
Yep
Let's see. Have we got another one of these? What's a course or professor that you've really enjoyed?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I like Professor Lishko. She teaches a bunch of community health classes, mm-hmm. and she teaches, it's like healthcare in America is probably like the easiest one for most people to take that aren't like majors, because there's no prereqs. But it's great. You get to learn about the healthcare system and how awful it is. And it is like a semester of being like, ooh, why is that the way that it is?
Oh, no.
But you figure it out. And you get to figure it out. Like, it's like a useful life skill and not just like everything's sad. Because you like, it's like, oh, here's like one of the assignments is like, go find your insurance like plan. Like, read through the whole whole thing, and then you like about it, and it's like I mean, you know, obviously like dense and not like the most like fun,
riveting.
But it's interesting and it's important, because like at some point you are not going to be on your parents' insurance anymore, and you have to like manage like, oh my god, like if you have multiple options for insurance, you have to like know what you should be looking for, and so understanding what all of the incredibly niche terminology that is only used with like health insurance that you need to like know to figure out anything about what plan you should be on. It's like, that's a good thing to know about.
Absolutely.
So,
A YouTuber that we watch within the last year put out this big long video on
Brian David Gilbert
navigating the healthcare system,
which was very well done, actually.
Yeah.
So funny. That was out of left field, but I was like, whoa, okay, cool.
That's really neat.
It was a lot of terminology.
I genuinely would not have watched it if it hadn't have gotten your stamp
That's
of approval.
That's so funny.
But like within 24 hours, I think, of it coming out or something, like pretty much right when it came out, you sent in one of the group
like
chats we're in, like, this is actually a pretty good video.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
Very informative. That's awesome.
All right. Well, we are about at the end of our show. Is there anything you'd like to say before we sign off a little bit and go to a song?
I don't think I have anything.
Okay.
Other than don't go outside. I've been outside too much today. It's so cold.
Yeah, please stay warm, everyone. Please don't go out tonight. Don't go out tonight. Stay inside. Cook yourself some popcorn. Grab a blanket. Snuggle up.
Oh, so true.
Yep. Well, in that case, this has been Elephant Loaf. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks for tuning in. It has been Luke here with my wonderful guest, Jack. And we're going to get into some music. Another thing that I meant to say at the top of the show is this is an alternating show this semester. And so it is every other week. And so we will not be on next Friday, but we will be on the Friday after that. And do you have a song that you'd like us to go out on? We've got about 4 minutes, so some of these we might not be able to hear all of, but...
Why don't you do Let Me Down Gently?
Sounds good. I thought, when I was looking this up for just a second, I thought this was the Adele song.
Amazing.
But thanks for listening. Catch you in 2 weeks.